If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Show Radio Show, and I'm Bridget Tigemeyer filling in for Dr. Mike. Every week at this time is Dr. Roizen's favorite segment, What's Toxic, What's Not, with toxicologist Dr. Gary Ginsberg, who you can find at whatstoxic.org. Gary, I know you have some awesome stories. Are you ready to run through them?
Yeah, thank you, Bridget. And although we all miss Mike, that doesn't relieve us of our duty to get to the toxic news of the week. And, you know, one story, Bridget, that I was surprised at, and this is the first evidence of this, but it's pretty strong evidence, and that is that artificial sweeteners, like things that, like aspartame, sucralose, saccharin, might actually decrease our ability to handle sugar. So now, these artificial sweeteners are not sugars. They're non-nutritive. Our body does not break them down to anything that would be calorigenic. But nevertheless, they provide sweet taste to things like soft drinks. And so become popular, especially for people like diabetics who can't handle a lot of sugar. It all makes sense, right? Except the problem is that now they're finding in studies in mice that the artificial sweeteners, very, very quixotically, but they are decreasing the mouse's ability to break down sugar or to handle sugar. So higher blood sugar levels, pre-diabetic type of blood chemistry after a meal, where normally the sugar is going into where it needs to go into break down places like muscle and liver, it's not being well absorbed by the body. The sugar that is in their diet is in these mouse's diets are staying high in blood, like glucose intolerance, we call it, so which is a pre-diabetic condition. What's going on? They think that the artificial sweeteners, this is a study out of Israel, they think that the artificial sweeteners are changing the microbial flora of the gut. And we have really been increasingly aware of the importance to health of the what we call the microbiome. And so if the bacteria aren't there to help with sugar metabolism because they've been altered by artificial sweeteners, well, then we may run into this problem. And so what these researchers did is they fed the certain groups of mice with things like aspartame or saccharin. They had more trouble then, and subsequently they gave them a sugar load. They had trouble dealing with the sugar load compared to the control mice. Then, in another experiment, they took the bacterial flora from the affected mice, transplanted it into normal mice, let that bacteria affect the normal mice, and they also couldn't handle normal glucose load. Their glucose tolerance was decreased, showing that the artificial sweeteners look like they are affecting the bacterial flora in our gut, and that looks like it can decrease our ability to handle a glucose load and get people into a pre-diabetic state. So, fascinating experiment, not
so
in humans yet, but in mice, and it looks like artificial sweeteners may have some issues that we didn't realize until now.
Yes, exactly. That was my favorite story, so I'm happy that we covered it first. I think that it's extremely interesting. So next we have urban air pollution is deadlier than violent crimes. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, we all think of cities and violent crime as how scary they can that be. And, of course, that's not a pleasant way to go if you get mugged in an urban city. But urban air, and this is a study out of Glasgow, Scotland, where they can get an awful lot of gridlock and car and truck and diesel pollution. Urban air pollution can kill more people per year, on the order of 300 people per year in your average city, than does violent crime. So there you go. Which way would you rather go, by air pollution or violent crime or neither? You know, I would choose neither.
Me too.
And so, yeah, I'm sure you would as well. So on both, and you know, some of the issues with climate change and having more fuel-efficient cars, cars that run on electricity, other ways to cut down on burning fossil fuels. The more fossil fuels we burn in congested areas like cities, the more we smog around our lungs. And that's exactly, and who's most vulnerable but babies? Old people and people with respiratory diseases. That's where those 300 mortalities a year in a city like Glasgow is coming from, is from the vulnerable groups of the population. So people we want to protect. Normally we think about, you know, walking the old lady across the street. Well, we can walk her across the street, but she may keel over by the time she gets to the other side from the air pollution.
Wow, that's a scary thought. Okay, let's talk...
Go ahead.
Do you want to continue?
No. You lead the way.
I was going to go on to another scary thought about the New Hampshire study that showed high cancer potential in drinking water.
Yes. Well, this doesn't have to be scary because knowledge is power. And if people test their water, then they won't live in a house for 30 years and suddenly get skin cancer or bladder cancer because they didn't know, oh my God, that the water has arsenic in it. Most people also believe that if the arsenic level is high in your water, you would notice it. But that's why arsenic was such a good poisoning agent back in medieval times. You can't taste it in your food. You can't taste it in your water. You could be slowly poisoned, in this case, by your tap water. By your drinking water, and 20%, the health officials in New Hampshire are coming forward based upon a study by Dartmouth, that 20% of the private wells in New Hampshire have too much arsenic and can be a cancer risk. And if you live in that house for 20, 30 years, it may really add up and get you. So the mantra here is if you're on a private well, nobody's going to test your water for you but you. You should be testing for things like arsenic, uranium, radon, things that can kill you. And, you know, when you go to sell your house, you may have to test it then for the new people. But you might as well do it for yourself.
So if you have a Brita, does that help at all or no?
Not for arsenic, no. No, you would need something a little bit more involved. But it is treatable. And so you don't have to go down drinking water just because there's no treatment for it. You know, you don't have to die drinking the water because it's got arsenic. You can filter it out with ion exchange.
Okay. And stay away from apple juice, too, for those reasons, right?
I wouldn't worry about the apple juice as much unless you drink apple juice like it's water. And the levels in apple juice generally are lower than what we've been finding in some of these wells up in New Hampshire. But you're right. Dr. Oz has shown that some brands of apple juice occasionally would have elevated levels.
I think that's like old news. The water's definitely...
I think FDA has been more on top of it, and now that it's been pointed out to them.
Yeah, which is good. You're right. Knowledge is power. Okay, let's move on to your last story, which is about an Australian suburb that is rich in asbestos but poor in health. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay, this neighborhood called Sunshine, which sounds like a great neighborhood to live in, right, where the sun always shines, but
it does.
They had a factory that had become abandoned, and the factory made things that were fireproof, maybe fiberboard for houses that they didn't want, you know, that had asbestos in it to keep fires from spreading. And so they had piles of asbestos back in some warehouse lot outdoors. And kids, of course, would be able to get in. Actually, it wasn't properly gated off, and people would take shortcuts through this factory lot to get to the bus, to get to walk the dog, and kids would dirt bike on it. And now several of the kids that grew up in the neighborhood, and now they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, are coming down with the rare cancer. Do you know what that is, Bridget? What kind of cancer is associated uniquely with asbestos?
I don't.
Mesothelioma. So the mesothelioma cases are not from the factory workers, but are from kids that grew up in the neighborhood and trespassed on this property. I don't know if they've got a legal suit, but they certainly don't have good health. And the mantra there is, don't let your kids play in old abandoned factories because there may be some waste piles that could be unhealthy for them.
Okay, and that is Dr. Gary Ginsberg with his What's Toxic, What's Not. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.